I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Paccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Is there significance to this tune you're playing?
Yes.
What
actually.
Is it?
It is Hot Together by the Pointer Sisters. It was in the GTA 6 trailer yesterday. And Zach Jones and I have been just jamming to this song for the past 24 hours. It's a very good song.
I thought maybe you'd play something like Reunited and It Feels So Good, wondering if the Bills should bring back Gabe Davis and reunite him or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
I didn't think about that.
That's why I didn't know. Like, is there something with this news that was breaking?
As we have the show starting, we have more news breaking from Elliot Friedman.
Okay.
A mammoth day for Utah. The Utah Mammoth.
Okay.
It's
wow,
official.
What a day. We have a big day on our hands.
But yeah, so Utah will now officially be called the Utah Mammoth instead of the Utah Hockey Club.
Was this one of the main ones that people talked about, the Mammoth?
Yeah, it was one of the four. It was like the Mammoth, the Yeti, the Outlaws.
Okay.
And then the Hockey Club. I think those were the four.
I sigh because it's like, where do I go? Like, there's so much to talk about now. So much. I am not comparing myself to a doctor. Please do not think I'm not smart enough to be a doctor. I would never have the patience go through school enough to be a doctor. I do not do the kind of important work that a doctor would do. I talk on the radio. It's fun. It's cool. I have a great job. I love it. That said, I always say doing this job sometimes can be like a doctor on call, where you just never know when something's going to happen and you have to go to work and talk about it and do it and be there, right? That's today. Like, not that I wasn't going to be here. That's, people always say, what do you do in the off season? You get your off season off. Well, first of all, no, I host a radio show, but as the beat reporter of the Buffalo Bills, I always say, you never know. At least during the season, it's routine. I know what my Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday look like generally. I know these days they play on different days, but you kind of know that. During the offseason, though, you just never know when something's going to happen. Something breaks. They sign someone. They trade someone. Bam, you got to go. There's a press conference. You got to get a Zoom call. That happened the other day with Elijah Moore. All that stuff. Well, today was one of those days. It started off not with the Buffalo Bills, but with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys. Bumping around this morning, happen to see, bam, trade. Cowboys trading for George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, this is news. Let's talk about it. Wide receivers. We've been talking a lot about wide receivers. We're going to talk more about wide receivers because George Pickens going to the Dallas Cowboys. And it's just a topic. And I said, let me get someone from Pittsburgh on. So we're going to do that today. At 11 o'clock today, Adam Crowley, who is a morning show host on our sister station, The Fan in Pittsburgh, he's going to join me. I actually went to their stream this morning to watch and listen to them on the YouTube side of things with Adam Crowley and former Bills player Doran Dickerson, who's a morning show host there. And I kind of got a sense of what they were thinking about the Pickens trade to the Cowboys. So I said, all right, let's do this. So we'll get Adam Crowley on at 11 o'clock. While all that was happening, we get the news that the Sabres, from Elliot Friedman, his report is Kevin Adams is returning as general manager. Now, we had our friends, Andrew Peters and Craig Revay, who do their own podcast, report this same information a few days ago. So I want to give them credit first and foremost. But when Elliot Friedman puts something out there like that, it's generally pretty accurate. He is the, to me, the number one insider in the NHL. Him and Pierre LeBrun, I think, you know, national insiders, but Elliot is very on top of things. So when Elliot Friedman says the Sabres are retaining Kevin Adams, I believe the Sabres are retaining Kevin Adams. Until you're told otherwise that maybe down the road something happens where they move off that, I think that's the plan. On top of that, he writes, Eric Staal coming back to the organization, which has happened now. That is official. He is a special assistant to the general manager, Eric Staal. And he writes and says in 32 Thoughts, the Sabres apparently are looking to hire a senior advisor to aid in Kevin Adams in the front office. And let me get this right, Josh, this is someone who has sat in a GM's chair before. A former GM, somebody who's been a GM in the league. That's kind of the way they phrase this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's how Friedman said it. It's either GM or just some kind of front office role that's like higher up. Not necessarily okay. Like an assistant, but a front
They've
office
had
role.
The experience of running an organization.
Yes, as he put it, someone in a big chair.
Okay. I love right away how Joe, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, connected the dots to Rick Dudley. I have no idea if the Sabres are going to hire Rick Dudley. I have no idea if that's even an option, if he's under contract, the Panthers, whatever. That's where he's been. But I do think because of Terry Pegula's affinity for the organization and its history, Dudley's been here both as a player and an executive. Like, that would make sense. He still lives in Western New York, but someone like that would make sense. I don't know if that's the case. We're just throwing names out there and who else it could be because I can't think of other people, but I'm sure there are many others that could be possible. So that gets us to a little bit more Sabres talk. And then the Eric Staal situation happens. That gets announced by the Sabres. He's back. Joe starts talking about how he can't stand it because Eric Staal played for the hated rival Carolina Hurricanes. They beat the Sabres, rips his heart out as a youth, and he just can't believe he's wearing their sweater and now he's in the front office. And I totally respect that and I get it. It's funny and it's fun. I would say from a hockey standpoint, I don't think there's anything to be upset about if, from a hockey standpoint. You want to be emotional because he played for the Hurricanes. That's fine. From a hockey standpoint, I don't think there's anything to get upset about or even really excited about to have Eric Staal. Teams do this all the time. It's okay. You hire somebody that is, you know, trying to be and wanting to be in a front office, get experience. That person is going to do a job to help you out and do some more of the grunt work, maybe for the GM. They lean on him for, you know, maybe some things that you might want to ask him about players and how they're feeling. Whatever the role is, there should be nothing anybody should get upset about to me with Eric Staal joining the Sabres organization as a special assistant to the GM. Professional sports franchises do this all the time. Not just ones that haven't made the playoffs for 14 years, but very successful professional sports franchises do these kinds of things all the time, okay? There's also nothing to me to get very excited about that Eric Staal is joining the organization as a special assistant to the GM. Okay, that happened. Getting ready here to have at 10:30 today a former professional football player who grew up in Buffalo, New York, who then worked for the Bills and now works for the Carolina Panthers, Jeremy Kelly. Jeremy had been in the Bills alumni department. He's now in Carolina. He's working closely in their organization, doing a lot of their alumni stuff. He works with Dan Morgan. Jeremy's a Western New Yorker, grew up in West Seneca. Really fantastic human being, by the way. And he's got a youth football camp coming up. And we said, hey, last week, he's like, hey, Sal, I got the youth football camp. You want to talk about it? Let's talk about the NFL, the Bills. Yeah, absolutely. We'll do that. So I'm bumping around. I'm getting ready for that. Jeremy was a wide receiver as he was growing up. More wide receivers in the news. And suddenly, as I'm doing that, bam, another wide receiver transaction happens. The Jacksonville Jaguars have released Gabe Davis. So let's talk about this. Obviously, there is a lot of kind of opinion out there already. People tying dots, connecting dots. Gabe Davis, you know, back to the Bills. Could it happen? Oh, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I think that I will tell you this. When Gabe left Buffalo, I had conversations with Gabe. And he said, you know, he would definitely welcome coming back some point if it ever worked out, right? It wasn't like he was not wanting to be where he was going, which at the time he didn't even know. It was, you know, going to be Jacksonville, or maybe it was right after Jacksonville. Either way, it was kind of when everything had passed. And yeah, he had signed with Jacksonville, I think. We had the conversation about, yeah, you never know. Someday it could work out. But he loved Buffalo. It wasn't that he didn't like Buffalo. It was that the Bills were in a position where they didn't offer him the type of contract he was offered by the Jacksonville Jaguars. He goes to Jacksonville. Doesn't work out. After a year, they've had coaching change. They have really a kind of a whole regime change. They got a lot of new people running everything over there in Jacksonville right now, including Tony Boselli, who's now up top. Liam Cohen is their new, you know, head coach. They move on from the general manager they moved on from, Jaguars. Either way, the point is he's now a free agent. I would say that as much as it is possible that the Bills could certainly want to bring back Gabe Davis, because let's remember, from a Bills standpoint, a guy that won their offseason workout program, like workout guy of the year award 2 years in a row. Like, this guy is someone the Bills revere inside their own locker room and facility for his hard work and his ethic. Okay? That doesn't always translate to getting the most money on the open market because of how you have to dictate your roster and finances and how you do everything. And it didn't work out that way. But I know the Bills have a lot of love for Gabe Davis, and I know Gabe Davis has a lot of love for Buffalo and his relationship with Josh Allen. That doesn't automatically bring him back to Buffalo, though. It could happen. It could happen. I also look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers on the heels of what I just said. The Steelers just traded George Pickens. And, again, going back to when Gabe left, having conversations with him, I believe, from what I had heard from people close to Gabe, that the Steelers were one of the teams that were interested in him at that time. I don't know if they still would be. But it would make sense. Look at their wide receiver room, the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. If Gabe Davis went to the Steelers, he might be immediately like their number two wide receiver. Their wide receiver room is DK Metcalf, and then big gap, Calvin Austin, Robert Woods, Roman Wilson. Gabe goes in there, he's number two. A couple of you on Twitter also came at me with, I agree with you. Maybe the Giants with Brian Daboll. Chad Hall is now an assistant quarterbacks coach, no longer wide receivers coach, assistant quarterbacks coach in New York with the Giants. That makes sense. Point is, I'm saying here, yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. Never rule something like that out. But I also would tell you that there are probably other teams where Gabe Davis could look and say, I could go there and play more, have a bigger role. It always takes two to tango. What do you think, though? Would you be interested in the Bills bringing Gabe Davis back? I've seen a lot of people already hypothesize and say, I would not do that. What are you going to do? Who are you going to cut? Where does he fit? And I get all that, right? You have to get to a point. But we know how this organization operates, and I think it's the right way to go, which is you create competition as much as possible. At the end of the day, whoever doesn't make it, you move on from them. You trade them, you cut them, whatever. But the more competition you can bring in, the better you're going to be at the end of the day. And in the long run. And if that's what it is, by creating competition, you do it. I mean, don't Didn't we say when the Bills signed Mack Hollins last year, he was a Gabe Davis replacement in a lot of ways because of kind of the style of receiver he was? Now, Mack wound up being a much better and more important special teams player than Gabe Davis ever was for the Bills. And people thought that would be his only role, and then he became, you know, a guy that helped out a wide receiver, and he actually led the team in touchdown receptions. He still had less than 400 yards receiving, though. It wasn't like he had this amazing, you know, season. But when that happened, you're like, okay, that's the Mack Hollins, the Gabe Davis replacement. Now Mack's gone. And what's funny is, especially after, I don't know if funny's the word, ironic, coincidental, after what happened last Monday here on WGR with Brandon Bean coming on and the interview with Jeremy and Joe, talking about wide receiver. And as soon as that interview's over, we find out Elijah Moore is being signed. And now you have Gabe Davis on the market. Could that happen? Could that be added to a room with Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Joshua Palmer, Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore? And of course, you have your Laviska Shenault, who's vying for a kick return job, Tyrell Shavers, Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, Caden Prather, and a few other guys reported coming in for rookie minicamp this week. I said to Joe, when I joined him here for the morning show a little while ago, I said, all right, let's just say, don't worry about the dollars right now, because you're not moving on. You're not moving on from Curtis Samuel, right? I mean, if you were to cut Curtis Samuel, you're taking on a dead money hit of 8.6 mil and you're saving like a half a mil. It's not going to happen. I can't see it, at least. If you want to try to trade for him, I don't know who would trade for him, Curtis Samuel, but let's just say. But just player for player, roster for roster, who fits this roster better right now? I think there's at least an argument that you could say Gabe Davis than over Curtis Samuel. I don't know. I think the skill set, Joe said this right, I agree with him, the skill set Curtis Samuel brings, I think, still is needed in this Buffalo offense. Even though he didn't show it last year, even though because he had these injuries, I believe Curtis Samuel can still be a downfield threat, a field stretcher. And even though that actually was Gabe Davis, numbers-wise, he's not the burner. He's not the fast guy. But, man, he did have plays down the field. That's what he was known for. Remember the Steelers game. The guy was his A-dot, average depth of target, kind of, I think, it led the league, was right there for quite a while. So, yeah. Some of you have told me and have showed me, even sending me some pictures. Apparently, Gabe Davis was even in town recently. I've seen this from several of you. I believe he went to the Shane Gillis event on Saturday night. I call it event. I'm not going to say concert. Josh, you know who Shane Gillis is, right? I have to tell you something I'm very embarrassed to admit. I'm going to admit it, though, on the air, okay? I had some friends a couple months ago, a woman I taught with and coached. She was a softball coach down in Florida, a teacher at the same high school. And I know her husband, and she said, hey, we're coming up to Buffalo in May to go see Shane Gillis. Would love to get together. I said, great. I didn't know who Shane Gillis was, but here's what's worse. I figured he's got to be a country music artist. Think of the name, Shane Gillis. It sounds like a country music artist. Does it not?
Yeah, I guess.
For 2 months, I thought Shane Gillis was a country music artist. I had no idea he was a comedian until I went online, looked up the time of the show and all that. And I'm looking, this guy isn't country music.
Wait, you hadn't seen him like in any of the memes online?
If I did, I didn't know who he was.
Oh.
Like, you know what I mean? This is like the Haley Steinfeld conversation I have with my wife, okay?
Mm.
Who tells me she believes Haley is more famous worldwide and more well-known than Josh.
Mm-hmm.
We have this debate all the time. And my thing is, well, but if you're watching a movie, do you really know who she is? You might see her, but you make the connection that's Haley Steinfeld. If I saw this guy, Shane Gillis, which I found out now he's in the commercial, it's a Bud Light commercial, maybe?
Yep. Yeah, with Post Malone.
With Post Malone. He's the guy sitting on the lawn chair.
Yeah.
I found out since then he's the guy. I had no idea. I'm here. I'm telling on myself. Yes, I get it. You want to make fun of me? That's fine. I thought Shane Gillis was a country music star.
Man, Shane Gillis is so funny, too.
Like, is he?
He's hilarious.
I didn't know.
He.
What kind of comedy is he?
I don't even know how to describe it. It's just very, like you know Bert Kreischer?
No.
Oh.
I'm sure I do. Geez. Like, that's the thing. I'm sure I know these people. I don't know who they are.
I'm not necessarily comparing, right. For anyone out there that knows the two of them, I'm not comparing the two of them, but it's like, it's that just kind of like, I don't really know how to describe comedy. Like, what do you,
does he swear a lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's all just right.
Is he raunchy?
Yeah.
Is he inappropriate?
Yeah.
All right, is it like...
I would probably say like 90% of his jokes we could never play on the air.
Okay, all right.
Like 90% of
them. See, like...
Do you remember the meme that went around when he hosted SNL and they did a skit commercial called Couple of Beers? Like, hey, you feeling down and out? Just have a couple of beers. And like, it's...
I don't remember this.
It was hilarious.
I got to go find it.
I'm so
funny. Sorry, everyone.
He's super
there
funny.
Are people doing... They're just SMH right now. Come on, Sal, right? I get it. Like, but that's... what I'm telling you is I know who these people are. I'll be honest. Like, I didn't know who Sebastian Maniscalco was until I saw his face. But I'm like, oh, I know that guy, right? He's super funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you said, when
I didn't know who that
years
was
ago,
either,
when
but...
somebody told me his name, I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Right.
Then when they showed me, I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I know who that is. I didn't know what his name was.
I think that's a lot of comedians, though. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's a lot of comedians, unless, like Adam Sandler was an actor before he was a
comedian.
Well,
that's the difference.
He made it big as an actor before he made it big as a comedian.
Eddie Murphy was both,
yep.
Right? Growing
yep.
up, one of my favorites. So my favorite comedian growing up is a guy who did not swear, who was not inappropriate. And that's not why he's my favorite. I don't care about that stuff. I love Eddie Murphy, by the way, who did all that stuff. My favorite comedian, I said Eddie Murphy is one of them, was a guy named Stephen Wright. Have you ever heard of Stephen Wright? Okay. Go listen and watch some of Steve. He's the most deadpan, monotone comedian ever. He's the guy that says, I bought a map of the United States. It's actual size. Those are the kinds of jokes that he says. Like, you're laughing. Isn't that funny? That's funny, right?
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. That's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the kinds of jokes that he has.
If that's what he is, I think Shane Gillis is probably like the polar opposite
okay.
of that.
All right.
Like, he's just very in your face, says whatever is on his mind kind
okay.
of sort of comedy.
Well, apparently, Gabe Davis might have been at the Shane Gillis event, concert, whatever you want to call it, on Saturday night and in town. Thank you very much to... Mark, friend of the program, he tweeted me. Trent Baalke was who I was looking for earlier with the guy in the Jaguars that they wound up finally getting rid of in their front office. And by the way, that's getting connected with me, Sal Capaccio, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at Sal Sports. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. David in New York. Thanks for holding, David. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I kind of like the Eric Stahl hire. I'm kind of with Joe a little bit. I'm an 05-06 kid Sabres fan. Kind of always a little weird seeing that guy with the organization, but, I don't think they have a lot of NHL players in the front office, which is kind of unique. So I think that was a good hire, but I'm a senior advisor. It's just such a head scratcher in some respects, right? Like, I mean, Adams has been here for 5 going on 6 years. It just feels like they're doing everything they can to keep this guy in the seat. And I don't know. It's a bit of a head scratcher instead of going out and getting a new GM.
Really, yeah, and I think the other part of it is, David, what people have always asked for here in Buffalo is a vice president or a president of hockey operations. That is not this, right? That is actually someone lower than this. But that's what, to me, when you say they're going to bring someone into with Kevin Adams, I think people were waiting on maybe a president of hockey operations. That's not the case here. This is a senior advisor that apparently they'll be looking for or hiring. This is according to Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts. So we'll see. 803-0550 is the number to call. You want to get connected with me, Sal Capaccio, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I want to make sure that I give you our Bills Rookie Minicamp sponsors, because all week this week, we'll be touching on Bills Rookie Minicamp. Friday is Bills Rookie Minicamp for the media. Friday and Saturday is for the players. We only get to go there on Friday, but we'll talk to players. We'll watch everything that's going on. And coverage of Bills Rookie Minicamp here on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. All right. So I have friends now sending me Shane Gillis like clips and stuff because they're like,
you gotta watch
them
in the break.
I can't put them on here. I can tell you that.
No, you can't.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks, Josh. I just got a text from Josh. Got my buddy Mike texting me a picture of Gabe Davis at the Shane Gillis event. So yeah, okay. I thought he was country music. Hey, we're coming up to go to the Shane Gillis concert. Dude, sounds like he's got a country music name. Come on. It would be a really good country music name, though, right? Come on.
I think it would. It kind of goes into that conversation. Someone said, like, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and the new Bills tight end, whose name is escaping me.
Jackson Haas.
Yeah. They're all, like leads in a Western movie.
Okay.
Like, you remember, I don't know if you saw that tweet, but
yes,
somebody tweeted
that out. Yes, I did. I brought that up. Yeah. Someone did. A Bills fan said they all have names like they're the leads in a Western movie. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Jeremy Kelly is going to join me. Jeremy is a former professional football player, grew up in Western New York, still has Western New York roots, loves coming back. He's got a youth football camp coming up. He had worked for the Bills. Now he works for the Carolina Panthers. We'll get into all of that with him, get his thoughts on what's happening around the NFL and these Devo wide receivers, because that's what he played. But we'll have some fun with that with Jeremy Kelly. We got Adam Crowley of the Fan in Pittsburgh joining us here at 11 a.m. And your phone calls and the question to you, would you want the Bills to bring Gabe Davis back now that he's a free agent released by the Jacksonville Jaguars? Coming back after this timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Natural organic health food store in Seattle, Washington, and one day a man walked in and he said, "If I melt dry ice, can I swim without getting wet?" I said, "I don't know. Let me ask Tony." 2 days later, I was fired for eating cotton candy and drinking straight Bosco on the job.
All right, so that is my favorite all-time comedian, Stephen Wright. WRIGHT. I asked Josh to find a couple clips in the break because we were talking earlier that I had no idea that Shane Gillis was a comedian. I thought he was a country music guy because of the name. And then I found out he was a comedian. That's how we got on that topic. Yeah, welcome in. You never know what you're going to get on radio, especially today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got wide receivers being released. Gabe Davis, we got wide receivers being traded. George Pickens. We have wide receivers on the Western Hotline. My buddy, Jeremy Kelly, joins me. Grew up in Western New York. Professional, former professional football player, worked for the Bills. Now he's with the Carolina Panthers, bringing his youth football camp to town. And he joins me today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What is up, brother? Great to talk to you.
The one and only Sal, man. It's great to talk to you. It was a pleasure to run into you last night at Hutch's with our guy, Thurm. Man, it just it felt like Cheers walking in there and seeing you guys, man.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because if I said it, it would have sounded like I was bragging that I was having dinner with Thurman Thomas and his wife, Patty, and some other friends with my wife over at Hutch's last night. And I was going to say, it was so funny, you walked over, you saw us, you came over, and you like knew, we had 10 people there, you knew everybody at the table. Like, you know everybody, bud.
Hey, that's Buffalo, right?
That's right.
Pretty good neighbors, man. That's Buffalo. It blessed my heart, man. Especially, I just touched down. Did not expect to see anybody, and those are all people that are very important to me. So awesome to see you guys, man. You doing well?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You're doing great, buddy. It's great to see your success. Jeremy, I want to get this right. I want to make sure, because I know it's blasphemous if I get it wrong. West Seneca West, right? Not West Seneca East. You went to West, right?
That's right. Don't mistake that.
All right. I know. I know. There's a lot of pressure on that one for me, Jeremy, to make sure. West Seneca West High School, you go on to play at the University of Maine. You had a professional football career. Just kind of familiarize and go back and tell everybody a little about your journey through professional football and where you are today.
Man, super grateful, super thankful. We don't got time to go through my journeys as I was everywhere in the world, but fortunate to play here at West Seneca West, man. Blue collar school. I still bleed blue to this day. Go on to the University of Maine, where I spent 5 years there, collegiate career, before I was afforded the opportunity to play north of the border in the CFL. Came back down, did some journeys through arena football before getting picked up by the Indianapolis Colts and kind of started my NFL journey. And so was fortunate to play ball professionally for 6 years, bouncing around team to team. And before the hometown team came calling, man, I was offered a job with the Bills, where I served in the front office for 6 seasons. And now, man, it got a chance to get south, where I serve as a director of Legends Affairs with the Carolina Panthers, overseeing all of our former player care and business integration.
Let's go back to your time with the Bills. You got a chance, obviously, to work alongside Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. You know all about their culture, what they've built here in Buffalo. What was that experience like for you?
Man, I tell you what, very fortunate to come in with those guys in 2017, right? I am just happy to be there, right? I get, I always say, can't get through the front door, climb through the window, right? Buffalo Bills never signed me, hometown team. Sure enough, I get a call to work in the front office, and I was just like beyond myself. And to do it with those guys, the culture that they ushered in, I mean, it was special. It was special to be a part of the turnaround, to see the changes that were taking place within the culture, see the changes that were taking place on the field. And obviously, you guys are still seeing those benefits to this day. So Brandon and Sean were always first class, always supportive in my scope of work. And so I think we've seen the benefits of that with the amount of alumni that are now engaged, traditions that exist there, and obviously their success on the field. So can't say enough good things about those guys there.
And then as you're working here, you get to know Dan Morgan. Obviously, he was an assistant GM to Brandon Bean. Carolina Panther, great. He winds up getting the GM job for the Panthers. And then you join Dan Morgan down in Carolina. How was that transition for you, and how things are going?
Man, Dan is just a stud, man. And I can tell you what, I don't know if you guys probably haven't paid much attention to what's happening below to Mason Dixon down there in Carolina, but I'm going to tell you that there's some momentum building. And what Dan's doing, just the mentality that he brings as both a former player but also a seasoned executive, Dan's awesome, and everybody's following him. So we're all on board. It's been great to get to know him, obviously, through the years. Anytime that you cross paths with somebody in multiple locations, right, there's a little bit of a connection there. Mm-hmm. And so anything he needs from me that I can contribute from a culture standpoint, right, in terms of our legends being around and mentoring or sharing a word with our young players, I do whatever I can to make it happen. So just been lucky to be in a lot of great places with great people.
And we know that there was always a connection between Carolina and Buffalo, with McDermott and being a lot of players. Now it's kind of going the other way with Dan going down there. You're down there. And how about our guy, Denny Kellington? Congratulations to him. Yeah. Now a vice president here. He did so much for the training staff, the medical staff here in Buffalo. Now he's working in Carolina.
Yeah, man, we're so lucky to have Denny. He's just an all-star, right? Anytime you're thinking about people in the building and what they bring every day and consistency and who they are, I mean, he's an amazing trainer and an even better man. So Denny's been great to have. Got to show him around a little bit down there, get him all the eats and get his family taken care of. He's been great to work with. And I'll tell you what, you're right, that pipeline is deep. And obviously, there's a lot of connections and straight flights back and forth to Carolina and Buffalo. I think my first week there, 6 days out of that week, I think I saw a Buffalo Bills logo on a bumper sticker or met somebody from Buffalo somewhere. But, you know, I tell my guys, you know, the colors on Sunday are different for me now, but Buffalo is home, man.
And you're back in Buffalo, and you have your football camp coming up, and we're going to talk about exactly all the details, but why is it important for you to do this, to have this youth football camp and back here in Buffalo, Jeremy?
So, I mean, and this sounds cliche, right, but when you think about, you know, as a, being a young kid or, you know, you get a chance to play ball at a high level, you know, you always see the guys that have given back and you envision yourself wanting to do that. And it was something I always wanted to do, but to be honest, just I never really took the steps to make it happen, you know, for whatever reason. And my high school coaches, Mike Vastola, Joe Contafi over here at West Seneca West, came and said, hey, look, we're thinking about doing a camp. We'd love to have your name on it. And they know how I do things. Like, if we're going to do it, we got to do it right. We got to go all in. And their support has been phenomenal. And so for me to come back to Buffalo, one, at my high school, my alma mater, right? But just to do it in Buffalo and to celebrate guys from Buffalo. The whole premise of the Jeremy Kelly Why Not You Camp is to bring the homegrown pros back home, right? I want the Naaman Roosevelts, Doug Worthingtons, you know, the James Starks, the Corey Grahams. Like, you know, some of those guys we've had out here, some of the others we want to get back here. But to get guys from Buffalo so these kids can see people that walk the same hallways, went to the same parks, played in the same fields, right, did those things. And then obviously in my scope of the NFL, I get to call on my brothers and NFL legends from around the country to bring them back here and to deliver an experience for these kids to meet pro athletes, get coached by pros, Hall of Famers, you know, Walter Payton Men of the Year. I don't know another camp in New York State that's able to deliver that. So for me to share that access with the next generation of youth talent in the city, that means the world.
And I love the fact that it's the Why Not You Camp, which is WNY, right? Western New York. That's not a coincidence, right, Jeremy?
Intention.
I love that.
That's everything, man. So, yeah.
Tell us about the camp. How does it run? You have some specific details. People can, by the way, go to WNYcamp.com. You could follow Jeremy on Twitter at JK_Kelly. That's, by the way, K-E-L-L-E-Y. But you can follow him. You can see his tweet. And I'll retweet it for everybody to see it out there. I know we get a lot of people who say, yeah, this is great for my son or daughter. What separates your camp and makes it special out there?
Yeah, so off rip. You know, like I just said, every year we've averaged over 20 former pros and collegiate athletes that are on our coaching staff, right? Now, we do have our high school and our youth coaches there that are phenomenal, right? Because they're the ones that are hands-on throughout the 364 days of the year that they're here. But I don't know a coaching roster that's this deep with this much experience that, you know, guys that have done it at the highest level, Super Bowl champions from Buffalo, from around the country that come back here to coach your kids. We're not here to take the photos. It's not, you know, paying extra for this or that. This is a $50 camp. You're going to walk away with a bag full of gear and content and snacks, but you're getting coached by NFL legends and collegiate players. This is it. And so we have a 7 through 12 group that will be on Friday, June 6th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., a little Friday Night Lights there action for the younger kids that we call the Little Legends. And then on Saturday morning, you got 13 through 18, you know, your JV and varsity age group, and we're going to get after it, right? So everything from position-specific training to flag instruction, we absolutely, this is a co-ed camp, we champion girls flag football. You know, it's an L.A. 2028 Olympic sport now. Man, if they're going to reckon that, we are all in on it. Last year, we had the good fortune, we scholarshiped the young ladies team from Health Sciences in the city, and we brought them out here as well. So the bang for your buck, unprecedented. We're not here to make money. Everything that comes in is going right back out. And it's just about impact, man. It's about exposure. It's about an experience that, you know, Sal, you and I both know we're fortunate. I always remind people, I don't take it for granted. There's only 32 NFL teams in the country.
Yep.
Buffalo has one of them. We grew up 10 minutes from a stadium. Some people don't have that access. So if we can deliver that to these kids, I mean, you remember the day you met a pro. Yep. And that's what we want them to remember.
Awesome, man. I love it. How do people sign up? How do they get involved? They want more information. What do they do?
Absolutely. So you can visit us at WNYcamp.com. Fully functional website there. So anybody that's interested in sponsorship, anyone that's interested in registering their son or daughter, WNYcamp.com. Follow us on Instagram at WNYcamp as well. Also, Facebook page is live. Jeremy Kelly, Why Not You? Why Not You Camp? So whatever you need, the content is up. The questions can be answered. Feel free to email us at info@WNYcamp.com. We're very responsive. You can get in touch with us any way you need to. And we hope to see you out there June 6th and 7th.
And I know as a Western New York guy coming back here, you know, obviously you're giving back, but you're also a guy that, you know, grew up watching the Bills and now you're seeing it, the stadium going up across the street. What's that been like for you knowing that? You know, I mean, you've been here and you were a part of everything in the organization when that was starting to happen. But now seeing that when you drive down Abbott Road, when you go towards that stadium, how cool is it from a kid to Western New York to see something like that?
Yeah, I think as you look at it for the city, it's massively impactful, right? I mean, that stadium right there is so iconic and it's known throughout the league. It was, you know, constructed in 1972. It was time to shine something up. But I think when you just look at the league as a whole and how Buffalo, how important this market is to it, truly. And I think the league is a better place when a team like the Bills are doing well. It means a great deal. I think it means a great deal to the NFL, the growth of the NFL, certainly the market of Buffalo. So it's great to see. And it's going to be I'm sure that the opportunity to present, I hope it presents where you're stepping into that stadium and, you know, maybe I'm on the other sideline, but I want to take it all in, man. This is a great fan base.
No doubt. And you're going to be on the other sideline when the Bills are down there this year, Bills in Carolina this year. That should be fun, right?
That's right, man. So hopefully, I don't want to see too much red and blue in them stands. I hope.
I get it.
I want to see more black and blue for us. But obviously, anytime you know you're facing a familiar foe and you see some friends and faces on the other sideline, it's always camaraderie. It really is. It's a unique environment and relationships that exist within the NFL. And I know friends and family are going to be making their way to Charlotte, so I'm sure I'll be doing a lot of hosting and setting people up and all those things. But I love it. Wouldn't have it any other way. We get to do this, man. So we're very lucky.
WNYcamp.com is where you go. Jeremy Kelly's Why Not You Football Camp, West Seneca West High School, June 6th and 7th. Check it out. Jeremy and his team will answer all your questions for you. And of course, back in Buffalo, helping out the youth of Western New York. And we're going to have to play some golf sometime soon, brother.
We got to make it happen, man. I truly appreciate the time. I hope to see everybody out there. And I'm going to say keep pounding.
I get it. Hey, you can keep saying that until the week that the Bills play the Panthers here on WGR. We'll get that, and we don't know exactly when that is. Schedule gets released next week, Jeremy. I know, speaking of schedule, you have a press conference to attend for this football camp. Thank you so much, man. It was great seeing you last night, and I'm sure we'll see each other again soon.
Much love, Sal. Appreciate you. Thanks for the time.
All right, you got it. That is Jeremy Kelly. Really great guy. Great, fantastic human being, by the way. And people contact me a lot about, hey, we got this going on, that going on. And, you know, when Jeremy said, hey, I got my football camp coming up, I said, we got to do this, right? We got to let people know about it, because if he's putting it on, if he's a part of it, it's going to be fantastic. It's here in Western New York. Legends who grew up in Buffalo that played in the NFL, you know, Western New York legends, people who played in the NFL that, you know, spent time with the Bills that you'll recognize. For your son, your daughter, you want to get them involved, make sure you head to WNYcamp.com. And of course, again, on Twitter, you can follow Jeremy at JK_Kelly. That's KELLEY. We will take a timeout. I've asked you today, and I got a lot of responses at Sal Sports on Twitter. Would you want the Bills to bring back Gabe Davis? Would you want him to? He was a polarizing player here for a lot of you. Some are like, yeah, absolutely. He can help out this wide receiver room. Some of you are like, nope, sorry. Drop some passes, don't want to see that again, don't need to go down that road. I think it's a really interesting discussion. I don't know how realistic it is, not really sure, haven't heard anything on that front, but Gabe Davis, released by the Jacksonville Jaguars a little bit earlier today, that came down. We'll take a timeout, we'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Now, once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. If you're not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. All right, I want to make sure I get this break on time because Adam Crowley doesn't have a ton of time. He's going to join me. Adam Crowley is the morning show host on our sister station in Pittsburgh, The Fan 93.7. Going to get his thoughts on George Pickens being traded from the Steelers to the Dallas Cowboys. That happened this morning. And then I'll ask him, what about maybe interest in Gabe Davis? Or how does this go? Do they just go with the wide receivers they have? What is happening with Aaron Rodgers? Adam Crowley from The Fan in Pittsburgh joins me after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf cart. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rick Zarek Golf Warehouse and Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at GetMyPerks.com. All right, a lot happening today in the NFL, including the release of Gabe Davis earlier today by the Jacksonville Jaguars. But before that, George Pickens, outstandingly talented wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, gets traded to the Dallas Cowboys. And joining me on the Wester Hotline right now is the Fan Morning Show host in Pittsburgh, Adam Crowley. He joins us to talk a little bit about this. Adam, thank you very much. I actually watched your show a little bit today, get some reaction, and I said, you know what? We got to have a little bit of this on WGR. How are you today?
I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you having me on. I'm still sweating. You know what it's like getting breaking news. It's thrilling, but I'm all petered out. I got a little left for you, though, Sal.
I saw the reaction. I heard the reaction from some of the callers. But I guess the bigger picture for us here in Buffalo, or a little bit more on the outside, why did it happen? Why did the Steelers get to this point to trade George Pickens?
Yeah, I think the Steelers can get crushed for drafting wide receivers with quote-unquote character concerns. There's been a laundry list of them now. I don't need to bore everyone with the names. What I can say, though, is they've moved on from all of these guys at the appropriate time. Deontay Johnson was on, what, 4 different teams last year after the Steelers traded him to the Panthers. Chase Claypool fizzled out of the league. Same with Martavis Bryant. Antonio Brown was yelling obscenities at the GM in Las Vegas at the time after they moved off of him. So they know when to move off of these guys. But to take emotion out of it, I just think pragmatically, you get a receiver this offseason in DK Metcalf for $150 million over 5 years. You don't have a franchise quarterback right now. You're probably not going to pay 2 wide receivers, and Dallas gave you a good offer for him. I mean, a 3rd and a 5th, that's what you got back for Antonio Brown. This guy isn't as big of a diva or a problem as Antonio Brown. He's also not half the player, so you get a good return. You were never going to pay him anyhow. I think it makes a ton of sense for Pittsburgh.
He isn't, like you said, maybe at that level of Antonio Brown as far as that kind of stuff, but some distractions right along the way that maybe just did it just rub everybody wrong at the end of the day?
Yes, and I say he's not on par with AB concerning the distractions. However, oh my gosh, the distractions. He was late to the Christmas Day game. Mike Tomlin kept running cover for him. He was benched in the Dallas Cowboys game this year. He got in a fight where he was pushing a cornerback out of the end zone on a Hail Mary play at the end of the Cleveland game, the snow game, I'm sure people in Buffalo remember. That's just 3 right off the top of my head. He's played social media games. He has blamed the referees for games. He has talked down to opponents after the Steelers have lost to opponents like the Browns last year, where he said that's not a good football team. That was just because of the snow. And then he complains an awful lot when he doesn't get the football, which that in and of itself doesn't make him unique at the wide receiver position. But that coupled with everything else and the fact that they'd have to pay him, what, $25+ million this offseason, it just made sense to move on at this time.
Adam Crowley joining us here on the West Her Hotline. All right, so where does this leave the Steelers? Because if you look at that roster, you saw the tweet. I heard you talking about it from Matt Miller today. Said maybe the worst roster they've had in the Tomlin era. I know that you say that's not necessarily true, but where are they right now with this roster, and how much can that completely change with the quarterback situation if Aaron Rodgers decides to join?
Let's say the Steelers now go out and sign Keenan Allen to a one-year deal, who's a free agent at this point, or Amari Cooper. Well, you've got DK Metcalf, and you've got wide receiver X, let's just call him, one of those two guys or somebody else. I think you're better than you were last year at that position, where it was Pickens and then your number two was Van Jefferson, for goodness sakes. So you'd be better there. And then with Rodgers, I don't think he's some great shakes or anything like that, but you're definitely better than you were at the end of the season with Russell Wilson. And hey, Rodgers might well wind up arguing with Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, but it just wasn't going to work again with Russell Wilson because that had already happened last year. So I think if you get Rodgers and you get another piece, you're still in a better spot than you were last season. If you get only the wide receiver, you're not, because Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback. And if you get only Aaron Rodgers, then you're an injury away from, I guess, Robert Woods being your number two wide receiver. So as we talk today, they're in a much worse place than they were at the end of last season. If they make one or two moves, and I guess, think the Rodgers thing's going to happen, I do think they can be better positioned this year.
So you think Aaron Rodgers is going to ultimately sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is there a timeline here? Do they need to know by a certain time?
Oh, there should be a timeline. I'm not sure there is, which a lot of people around here, myself included, have a problem with. I had tweeted out earlier on in the day that them trading Pickens told me that Rodgers had spurned them. I've been told by a couple of people that that is not the case, that Rodgers is still mulling things over, but that their understanding is this doesn't affect him at all, which I don't know that I can buy. I don't know why I'd want to be throwing to Robert Woods, but I guess it doesn't affect him. I would guess he is here. I would think within the next, 18 days before OTAs and minicamp and all that starts up, but that's merely speculation, as I can sort of ascertain one thing based on the available information and then guess with some of the sources stuff that I got.
Your co-host, Doran Dickerson, former Buffalo Bill player, obviously, as well as several other teams in the league, and the Steelers, he speculates maybe they could go out and trade for a receiver. I know DJ Moore was a name that was mentioned. Now you have Gabe Davis also that was just released today. What does it look like maybe the next little while here at wide receiver of them possibly going out and adding not only just a Keenan Allen, as you said, but maybe trading for somebody, maybe a Gabe Davis who's now on the market?
Yeah, I think they should do that. Whether or not they will, I'm not sure. Roman Wilson was their third-round draft pick last year, a national champion at Michigan, but he didn't play the entire year because he was hurt, and then he wasn't picking up the playbook. So they might have a lot more faith in him than I do. I think it would make a lot of sense to get a wide receiver. I think the Steelers are kind of screwing this up a little bit. I think they have a plan. It just might not be a good plan. I think one of their feet is firmly placed in the trench of, we got to try to win now with T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward, and I think their other foot is in a ditch, but it doesn't really matter until next year because that's when we're going to try to get our quarterback. If they want to win now at all, though, I just don't see how they could go into the season with the wide receiver room like it is. It would be as bad as it was last year, and it was one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL last season.
What is the truth about their interest at all in Shedeur Sanders as everything was going on over the draft a couple weeks ago?
Man, I should have stuck with my guns, Sal. I, the whole time, was thinking it was all misdirection, blowing smoke from Mike Tomlin, who was really waxing poetic about Shedeur Sanders in a way he had never done about any other draft prospect in 17 years in Pittsburgh. And I thought, you know what, they kind of were leading people to believe Malik Willis was their guy in 2022, and then they took Pickett. Maybe he's doing the same thing. But then I kept hearing other stuff, that they really were interested in Shedeur. I have also heard that he showed up to the Steelers facility with the camera crew, and they kindly told him not to bring the camera crew in. And I found that information out after the draft. And just knowing the organization, knowing how Art Rooney II, the owner, operates, I'm guessing that probably wiped him off their board altogether. It's not what I thought necessarily going in, but as I understand it now, I don't think they were very interested in that young man.
All right, the rest of the offseason, what it looks like for the Steelers here, I should say, you know, now where they are here in the offseason. Defensively, you got some guys who are aging a little bit. What's it look on like on that side of the ball, Mike Tomlin defense, and where they are right now?
I think they should be better. They had a corner last year play for him who was as tall as I am, and that's not very tall, 5'8". And he took the ball away from him a little bit. This is Dante Jackson, but he wasn't a fit for their scheme. He was more of a zone guy. They wanted to play man coverage. They've replaced him with Darius Slay. T.J. Watt, still good. I think their inside backers are good. Their safeties are good. They needed help on the defensive front. They think they got that in the draft with Derek Harmon in round one and Y.A. Black later on in the draft, who profiles more as a nose tackle. I think they'll be fine on that side of the ball. And depending on the quarterback situation, I think you're looking at trying to win games 12-10 like they have really since Ben Roethlisberger retired, which they've done a nice job of doing, but it's like banging your head against a wall for 3 hours, 3.5 hours every Sunday trying to watch this team. They'll be fine on defense, though, I think.
Is this T.J. Watt's last year in Pittsburgh, or do they work something out?
Oh, they'll work something out, and I think the town is split on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to win anything this year. Even with Rodgers, you're not winning the Super Bowl. You're maybe winning a playoff game, which they haven't in more than half a decade. I forgot the question now.
That's okay. T.J. Watt, last year of his deal.
Oh, yeah, he'll be back. And like I said, the town split, but they're not. Right. They want him to be a one-helmet guy, and they want him to finish his career in Pittsburgh. And they're going to make him, in all likelihood, the highest-paid defender in football. We'll see what happens in Dallas with Micah Parsons. They might take it to a place the Steelers can't go. But if they got it done before Dallas does, I think you're going to see that T.J. Watt, for however short a time it is, he's going to be the highest paid defensive player in the sport.
All right, I know you have a meeting you got to go to in 3 minutes, so I'll give you two quick ones on your way out. Have you heard anything about the opponent for the Steelers in Ireland? Because we know that the Bills could be in the mix there, and people are wondering. Have you heard anything about that over there?
I heard it's the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And that it'll be on September 28th. Now, I had someone I trust the other day tell me it was the Vikings, but I have had a ton of people tell me it's the Packers. Either way, though, for your purposes, I have not heard Buffalo
link
to that game.
And then finally, where are the Penguins now after missing the playoffs, having an aging roster, and their organizational kind of reset, if they even want to call it that?
It's going to be a reset. I think it wouldn't take too terribly much for them to be a playoff team next year. Kyle Dubas, though, the general manager of the Penguins, said in his end-of-season press conference that they're not going to build a team just to squeak into the playoffs. So I think this year they're probably not going to be very good. The following year they might not be very good. This is maybe not a long, long rebuild, but I think it's going to take a couple of years. And I don't think Mike Sullivan wanted to wait around for it. I know the Penguins painted the picture that they made the decision. I was told that Sullivan said, I want to win now. And they said, yeah, all right, you're going to have to take a hike. And that's how that went. So I don't think they're going to be good for at least the next couple of years.
Adam Crowley, you can follow him on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley. 93.7 The Fan, our Odyssey sister station in Pittsburgh. Thanks a lot, buddy, especially on such short notice. I really appreciate it this morning.
No, you're the best, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you got it. Adam Crowley right there. All right, he's got a meeting he's got to go to, so we appreciate him squeezing us in here for a few minutes on WGR. Adam Crowley on the Steelers. And yeah, you look at their kind of wide receiver room right now, and he's right. You're kind of one injury away from Robert Woods being your number two. We all love Bobby Trees, right? But as your number two wide receiver, not sure you love Bobby Trees, to be quite honest with you. That guy, though, think about Robert Woods' career, right? That's a nice career. I've always said, to me, Khalil Shakir kind of reminds me of Robert Woods when it comes to just his playing style. You know, his size, not the biggest guy in the world, being able to just kind of do a lot of really little things that matter. And if Khalil Shakir can have the kind of career that Robert Woods has had, I think that's pretty darn successful. It's amazing. Robert Woods was actually a second-round pick by the Bills in 2013. He was only here 4 years, and he left as a free agent. Khalil Shakir was a fourth-round pick, and then he winds up signing a contract extension. If the next 4 years go for Robert Woods, I should say five, next 5 years, right? Go for Robert Woods and Khalil Shakir, the way that his second five went for Robert Woods. Let me rephrase that. If Khalil Shakir's next 5 years go the way Robert Woods' 5 years did in L.A.? Yeah, sign me up. He had a year of 1,200 yards receiving and 1,100 yards receiving. Not as much anymore. Last year in Houston, 20 catches. He did have, he was their main punt returner at times, including in that game against the Bills where they wound up beating them, and that was a big return for him. But the reason I bring up Robert Woods is right now he's kind of a main guy on their wide receiver depth chart in Pittsburgh. And I've always said I thought that, you know, Khalil Shakir was kind of a Robert Woods type of player and receiver. Reminded me of him a lot here in Buffalo. And I would take that career overall if it's all in Buffalo. I mean, only a couple of years of 1,000 yards, another one of 900. So we'll see what they do, though, in Pittsburgh. Getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Retba says, why do we do this every time an ex-Bill gets released? What he means is, why do we say, should the Bills bring him back? And I understand that sentiment. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes, and a lot of times, I should say, a lot of times, should the Bills bring this guy back? And I agree with you, Rhett. For a lot of it, it's, you know, what are we doing, right? You don't need to do that. I think, though, in a lot of cases like this one with Gabe Davis, it's warranted to ask the question. Because let's remember what you have in Gabe Davis. You have a player here that is still very young in the NFL. He's only played 5 years in the league. Let me get his actual, is he going by Gabriel Gabes? I want to make sure I pull him up here. His actual age, 20. He just turned 26 last month, Gabe Davis, actually on April Fool's Day, April 1st. So he's only 26 years old. He's only been in the league 5 years. He had some great moments in Buffalo. He is a Bills draft pick of this current regime in the fourth round. They developed him. They drafted him. They developed him. When he left, it was not on bad terms. He apparently has a very good relationship with the starting quarterback, who is the league MVP now. He still comes back to Buffalo once in a while, has relationships here. I know he had a house here. I don't know if he still does. He lived here. He was just here recently, right? But you want to know why we do this? This particular player is a reason why. He won the Bills offseason workout program, like workout player. I don't know, it's the Iron Man. I can't remember the name of the darn award, but he won it 2 years in a row. Like, as the hardest worker in the offseason. These things matter. You can say they shouldn't matter because he dropped too many passes, and I'm perfectly fine with that opinion, but I'm presenting it to you from, if you want to talk about why it could be possible, if you want to talk about why we talk about it, why we ask the question, these are the reasons. And, oh, by the way, you could make an argument you could still improve at wide receiver overall on your depth chart. For all the talk we've had about wide receiver here, I think the depth chart is pretty solid from top to bottom, meaning like 1 through 5, right? 1 through 5 or 6. But you can always add competition. They might not have that true number one we've talked about, but they do have guys who can play. Now, if you're talking about right now, think about it this way for a second. The Bills' number 5 wide receiver is who? It's either Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore, right? I mean, I think everybody would say that. It's either Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore. I know it's going to sound crazy to some people. It's not hype. It's true. Go around the league and tell me a number 5 receiver on a depth chart who's been as productive as one of those guys in this league. There probably aren't many teams who have him. Right? Elijah Moore caught over 60 passes last year. He had 500 yards receiving. Like, a number 5 receiver is what he's going to be. Now, granted, the Bills' number 2 receiver didn't have those kind of numbers, but we know Keon Coleman, to me, he is a number 2. I mean, he's really kind of a 1A, 1B, because he's going to be the outside X receiver starting. Joshua Palmer is in the top 3. I think it's clear right now. Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, they're your top 3. You can kind of label them however you want. It's not like that, really, on an NFL roster, how you move these guys around. They play different positions and, you know, that everybody eats, all that kind of stuff. But if we were to just kind of put the depth chart down, you don't even have to say Shakir's 1, Coleman's 2, Palmer's 3. You could just say those are your top 3 guys. And then you have Palmer and Moore. I think that, I'm sorry, Samuel and Moore. Then you have a gap with Samuel and Moore. And again, that's pretty good for 4 and 5. Are these all pros? No. But that's a good depth chart at wide receiver. You want to make the argument that you don't need Gabe Davis. Totally fair. And you tried that. There were some, yeah, great moments, also some tough moments. No doubt. But if you also want to make the argument that he could help and elevate the competition and fill in some gaps, and who knows what happens in training camp, there's always injuries, all those kinds of things, I think there's certainly an argument for it. 803-0550 is the number to call. What do you think? Should the Bills want to be interested in bringing back Gabe Davis? We also have the Sabres news that has dropped this morning. The Sabres have officially announced they have hired Eric Staal as a member of their organization. Eric Staal comes to Buffalo as the new special assistant to the general manager. That would be Kevin Adams. Now, the Sabres, as Paul Hamilton brought up with me last week, earlier this week, whatever it was, said, that was Monday we talked, he's right. If Kevin Adams is coming back as general manager, they're not necessarily going to come out and make an announcement he's coming back. You just kind of keep going, right? That's what you do. You just keep going. That's the guy's job. If there's a change, we'll let you know. If there's no change, why do we need to let you know? It's the way most places operate. There was a report by Elliot Friedman in 32 Thoughts today that said Kevin Adams is going to be retained as general manager. This is on the heels of Andrew Peters and Craig Revay on their podcast saying the same thing. So, A, I think there's a lot of that out there that you know that that's going to happen, right? But I think that the sealer for me to tell me that Kevin Adams is staying on as general manager is the fact that they just hired Eric Staal as special assistant to the general manager. I mean, you could conceivably, of course, hire a guy for this position and then fire the person or change him out for someone new. But doesn't it kind of feel like if you're going to make this move and bring in Eric Staal, it's because he's going to work with Kevin Adams, who he knows from their days in Carolina together? Like, doesn't that track and feel right? I mean, they know each other. They're friends, I would think, right? This is why this happens. So I don't think Eric Staal is getting hired. I don't think Eric Staal is getting hired to work with a different general manager than Kevin Adams. It's got to be Kevin Adams. It just makes the most sense. Okay, so you have that. On top of that, in addition to that, what Elliot Friedman reported is the Sabres are looking to hire, apparently, a senior advisor to work alongside and with Kevin Adams. This person would apparently still report to Kevin Adams, who still would report to Terry Pegula. The one thing that people have really said the Sabres need for years now, they've never actually gone out and did or done or had in this ownership, under this ownership, is a president of hockey operations. Now, wasn't that, I could be wrong here because I have to go back and, wasn't that Pat LaFontaine just for, wasn't that his actual title? President of hockey ops, right? Am I wrong there?
No, you're right.
Okay. So they did do it very, very briefly.
That was the last time though.
Here it is. Yep. On November 13th, 2013, LaFontaine was announced as the new president of hockey operations for the Buffalo Sabres. On March 1st of 14, he resigned. 3 months. And he went back to work for the NHL. So, I think it's the only time, I guess, unless I'm missing someone before that, that the Pegulas have hired a president of hockey operations. And then that lasted 3 months. it's been a structure that they have just not wanted. And we asked, I think when Pete Guelly was hired, the COO of the Sabres and Bills last year, he was specifically asked this question, like, would you consider that? And he said, this is the structure that we like, the structure that Terry's had. This is the structure we're comfortable with. However he answered that, basically saying that. So I wouldn't expect, on the heels of this report from Elliot Friedman, that the Sabres are going to hire a senior advisor to Kevin Adams. I would not expect anything in the line of a president of hockey operations. So a lot happening here today. Bills rookie minicamp on Friday. Rookies will show up. We'll get a look at them. We'll get to talk to them. I'll be down at the stadium. You'll get Zach and Derek and Josh here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on Friday. I'll join them from One Bills Drive. In the meantime, Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. Get her the ultimate pass to relaxation, renewal, and pure self-care bliss with our Odyssey Self-Care Passport. Enjoy 13 incredible experiences at select spas, gyms, and wellness centers valued at over $1,400, over 70% savings at $375. Visit getmyperks.com to get yours while supplies last. We'll take a timeout. Next Wednesday is a big day. Schedule release. I have not really talked about the schedule that much here. Mike's talked about it. I've talked about it with Mike. Did the podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo with Mike North. But I haven't really talked about the schedule. I want to talk about the schedule when we come back. So I just asked Adam Crowley, has he heard anything about the Ireland game, the Steelers hosting? He's like, I haven't heard the Bills at all. I keep hearing Packers. I agree. That's what I've heard. But I also have heard that the Steelers will protect that game and not allow it to go there, which was something I had never heard a team could do, but apparently they can. So we'll get a little schedule talking here, but of course, your phone calls, always welcome. 803-0550. Would you want the Bills to bring back Gabe Davis? What do you think about the Sabres retaining Kevin Adams, hiring Eric Staal, and looking for a senior advisor to Kevin Adams? Also, the George Pickens trade, if you want to help hop in on that. It's all on the table here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigators Later.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Next Wednesday is the NFL schedule release. It's here. It's finally here. Not really, not yet, but almost, right? We are 1 week away from tonight. The NFL schedule will be released. I still think it could be, judging by my conversation with Matt Bove and Mike North, Matt Bove and I having Mike North on our podcast, it's always game day in Buffalo. Judging by that, it doesn't have to be finalized yet. It might not be finalized until that day, until they release it, until they give it out, like the night before maybe. And I would tell you, if Aaron Rodgers suddenly says, I'm not playing at all for the Steelers, that could impact it. Or if he says, yep, I'm definitely going, that could impact it. I kind of think they have to account for both scenarios in a bit of a way here. So Warren Sharp, really good follow on Twitter, by the way, if you go to Warren Sharp. He has just a lot of really cool analytics stuff. Does a lot of schedule. He's betting things and, you know, however you want to look at it. He just does a lot of really cool stuff. And he wrote last week, he had top five hardest and top five easiest schedules in the NFL. And what he did was he went by, I believe is how he did it, was according to this year's Vegas win total. So what teams have, what's the strength of schedule based on this year's Vegas win total projections for their opponents, right? And as much as we talk about the Bills having some really heavy hitters coming to Buffalo this year, the Super Bowl champion Eagles, the AFC champion Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, all four of them, the Buccaneers who made the playoffs last year. I mean, one, two, three, four, four teams have made the playoffs. Bengals didn't, but they're always obviously very good and talented. I mean, you're talking about some heavy hitters coming to Buffalo. We talk a lot about that, but the truth is the Bills schedule, according to the Vegas projected win total of opponents, is actually the fifth easiest in the league, according to Warren Sharp. 49ers is the easiest. And I've seen that too. If you look at the 49ers schedule, like this is a very, very big bounce back betting candidate if you want to go and do something like that. Patriots number two, Saints number three, Falcons number four, Bills number five. It is also not a coincidence, though, that of the top five easiest, of the easiest schedules, according to this particular metric, Patriots, Bills, Dolphins, Jets all fall in the top half. And in fact, the Patriots have the second easiest, Bills the fifth easiest, Dolphins the ninth easiest. You know why? Because they play each other. Because the Bills, especially, play all of these teams in the AFC East who just don't have very good win total projections. So, getting back to what I was just saying about how much we think about Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals, Eagles, and even Bucks, those are all the home games here that are heavy hitters. You also get two games against the Dolphins, two games against the Patriots, two games against the Jets, six games against teams that aren't, quite frankly, supposed to be all that good. I guess it could be, you know, 500 Dolphins fighting for playoffs. I think the Patriots would be a little bit better, but that outweighs all that other stuff. Then you add in, folks, we just talked about the Steelers. I mean, there's talk the Steelers could have the, Matt Miller said today, the worst roster they've had in the Mike Tomlin era. Whether you agree with that or not, they're not looked at to be a super good, talented roster and maybe a fringe playoff team, right? That's the Steelers on the road. The Falcons on the road, who did some nice things last year, and I love their talent. I think they could actually, maybe a year off, I don't know. I think the Falcons could be pretty good. I'm not sure, but I'm really not sure. The Bills go to the Panthers this year. My buddy Jeremy Kelly, who joined me earlier, having his youth football camp, works for the Panthers, and he's right. They made some strides. They're doing some nice things down there. They're still not there, right? The Panthers on who they are. Bills going to the Browns next year. What are the Cleveland Browns? I mean, this is a team that could really be in for a let's take the year off and get our quarterback next year, right? And then the Texans, who did beat the Bills last year, you have to respect that. They got to the playoffs. They almost beat the Chiefs in the divisional round before the AFC Championship game. But I think that the word, the book on the Texans is, how good really are they? Their offensive line, receivers, you know, they have some interest, they have some decisions they've had to make. They have some injuries. Stephon Diggs is gone. Tank Dell, the injury. So they made some moves there. So, yeah, I'll respect them for sure. But I think when you look at the away schedule, Steelers, Browns, Panthers, Falcons, Texans, like these are winnable games for the Bills. And I know they lost to the Texans last year. I get it. Still winnable games. Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, we know are winnable games. I mean, every game is winnable, but I mean, like, I don't think enough's been looked at as far as those games. Just when we look at the schedule and the home teams, they're going to play here, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Bengals, the Bucks. Then you have the Saints, and of course, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. Let's look at the quarterbacks the Bills are going to face. We know Lamar, Justin Fields, Drake May. Respect for him. Young quarterback. Looks good. Tua, who they've beaten a lot. Joe Burrow, yes. What's going on in New Orleans? Who are they facing there? Tampa, Baker Mayfield, yep. And of course you have Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. Let's go the other way. Let's go to the road games. Steelers. Is it going to be Aaron Rodgers? I'm not really sure. Maybe. Atlanta Falcons. Penix had some nice moments his rookie year. He's going into his second year, doesn't have a lot of experience. Bryce Young, who came back and did some nice things as well last year for the Panthers, but again, it's Bryce Young, right? Not a guy that really is on any sort of, you know, level or even trajectory you think he could get it to a, oh my God, you got to take this guy seriously, he can carry a franchise type of player, right? Cleveland Browns, who's their starting quarterback? We don't even know. They have five of them right now on their roster. And then you have C.J. Stroud, who I just think is, he's a fantastic talent. Did great a couple of years ago. Like, oh my God. And then just didn't go so well last year. And again, you have May, and you have Tua, and you have Justin Fields. Josh Allen's always going to be the best quarterback on the field, unless you want to say that Patrick Mahomes is better. That's fine. He'll be the best quarterback on the field for at least 16 of their 17 games. You want to say Lamar, that's, I'll respect that, but Josh is the MVP last year. And I think that this is the type of team that the Bills, having the type of team, you know what? I was listening to Mike Schoep the other day say, like, if the Bills did hit on this draft, if they got the defensive talent they really believe they can get, it could be like an all-time great Bills team. And I think that's right. Look at the roster, right? Because look at Josh. And we could talk about wide receiver all we want. We know he elevated those guys last year. And you could make a definite argument that now the wide receiver room from top to bottom is better than last year. I am still expecting the Bills to get at least two of those games at home, those home games in prime time. Ravens, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles. I think at least two of those. But who knows? Maybe you'll just get a bunch of 425s, and somewhere along the way you'll get a weird Buccaneers primetime game or a Saints primetime game. A Jets, Patriots, or Dolphins is always possible because it's division. And then on the road, generally you're going to get the Bills also on the road at least in one primetime game. Now they do only have eight road games this year compared to 9 home games, so chances, right, for more at home. And then we have the, are they going to Ireland? I still think it's possible. More unlikely, but possible. And you also have the, are they playing on a holiday? I think it's very likely they play on one of the holidays, meaning Thanksgiving, probably less likely because there's only one chance there. You're not playing Detroit this year. You're not playing Dallas this year. So you know it's neither of those two games, but there is one night Thanksgiving game it could be. You have a Black Friday game, could be that. And then you have Christmas. There's 3 games, and we don't know any of the opponents on Christmas. Although the Chiefs did say they want to play on Christmas every year, we don't know how that's going to go. We don't know where the league's going to kind of start taking that. So just in numbers alone, you have the Bills having a chance, 6 teams playing on Christmas, 1 in 6 chance there, versus two teams playing on, I guess, what, 6 out of 32, I should say. But 6 teams playing on Christmas, 2 teams playing on Black Friday, and only 2 openings the Bills could possibly get for the teams playing on Thanksgiving. And there's been some internet rumors about the Bills hosting on Christmas night to wrap up the final year of Highmark Stadium in the regular season. I can believe it. I think that could be very possible. I especially think because of the Hallmark movie that's coming to Buffalo, it's being filmed. Last year, they did that with the Kansas City Chiefs. They were in the Hallmark movie. They played on Christmas. It just fit. They played the year before on Christmas, too, by the way. I wouldn't rule out. What team would that be? Like, to me, if you're gonna put the Bills on at home on Christmas night, it's got to be. How do I say this? It doesn't have to be like another marquee name or team or quarterback. It just doesn't. It's the Bills. They're the team carrying this. But for promotional purposes, aesthetic purposes, like, of course, the league would love that. I think you could get a Ravens. You could get a Chiefs. But it's so late in the year. Would the NFL do that and say, nah, they're going to play each other anyway in a couple weeks. We don't want to do that on Christmas night. I think it's more likely an NFC team like the Eagles. Imagine Eagles at Bills on Christmas night. I think it's possible. Dolphins, though. Rivalry. Patriots. Rivalry. Jets, not so much. Yeah, division rivalry, but I don't see them as much, but could be. The thing I don't want, there's one thing I don't want with the schedule, to be honest with you, from a professional standpoint, okay? And personal, I guess, both these, personal and professional. Love my job, love what I do, love going on the road, covering the games, calling the games, being a part of it. It's great. But if the Bills play on the road on Christmas, that means I'm gone Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, right? I don't want that. If I got to do it, I got to do it. Part of the job. But it's just something that, if you're going to play on Christmas, do it at home, not on the road. Please, Mike North, NFL Schedule Makers. So we'll find out. Maybe before that, even some of these games, right? Remember a couple years ago? I remember just one day being at the gym and all of a sudden I look, bam, Bills are playing at home on Monday night 1 week against the week 2 against the Titans that year when it came out. Like, they started leaking those things that week. And I bet you this year they do the same thing where what they're going to do is they'll have someone, they'll have like the NBC morning show and the ABC morning show and the CBS morning show. They'll talk NFL and go, oh, we got a big announcement coming week 6, coming Christmas, whatever it is. We're going to have this matchup. That's how they do a lot of these reveals now. Wouldn't be surprised if that happens next week. 803-0550. The number to call here on WGR. I cannot wait for this weather to start getting warmer. It's going to be a little cooler tomorrow, and then, but we're going to stay dry. And if you're looking at next week, yeah, baby. 70s, near 80 a couple days, maybe. Love it. And if you want to get out on the golf course, you can do it on May 19th for a great cause. Join us at Par for a Purpose. Play in a foursome at Double Black Diamond Golf Course. A majority of the proceeds are going to benefit the 11-day power play. Registration includes lunch, dinner, 2 drink tickets, greens fees, cart and prizes. Okay? This is courtesy of Elkville Chamber and Commerce, Chamber of Commerce and Labatt. It's the Double Black Diamond Golf Course down in Ellicottville. And if you want to be a part of it, you want to hang out with me and Jeremy and Nate and Joe, because we're going to be in a foursome. We're going to be hanging out, playing golf that day. All you got to do is go to WGR550/events.com to register. We'll take a timeout. We'll wrap up your Wednesday here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Speaking of NFL schedule, there's a pretty cool Twitter feed that I follow that I've interacted with on the schedule, and it's perfectly named, Nerding on NFL. I love it, Nerding on NFL. And they just tweeted something out, said, here is every non-divisional matchup with an active streak of meeting in 4 or more consecutive regular seasons. And the Bills and Chiefs are tied for the most. The Bills and Chiefs have met 6 years in a row in the regular season alone. I think you all know this just from kind of following and seeing, right? 2020 was at Buffalo, and then at Kansas City in 21, 22, 23, at Buffalo in 24, and again this year in 25. The other series that has been tied is the Broncos and the Jets, because they finished in the same spot in the standings so often. They've played since 2020 as well. Bills have any others on this list? Nope, that's it. Bills don't have any other that are at least four in a row. All right, so a lot going on today. We had the news of the George Pickens trade that came over. George Pickens goes from the Steelers to the Cowboys. Couple draft picks swapped in there. Dallas gets a third rounder. That's the most notable. They're going to have the draft next year in Pittsburgh, so they'll have lots of draft capital on top of that, by the way. Then we had the release of Gabe Davis from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Talked about that today and getting your thoughts on if the Bills should be interested in revisiting that. Then you had the Sabres news. Eric Staal is hired as a special assistant to the GM. Plus reports from Elliott Friedman that the team is going to add a senior advisor or looking to with Kevin Adams. And now we have a report that Seth Appert might have more of a hand in hockey operations and scouting. So a lot going on today here to talk about on WGR. Sabres Live will have more. One Bills Live after that. Show up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock here today on WGR. I'll join them at 4. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.